new at, and thus he's never pulled off an execution. He's also the enemy, and whatever he wants, he will not get from me. We huddle up like pals, and he whispers, "What's it look like?" I glance around as if to evaluate the situation and say, "Gee, I don't know. Looks like an execution to me."
"Come on, Post. Our lawyers are saying it's a go."
"Your lawyers are idiots. We've already had this conversation."
"Come on, Post. What are the odds right now?"
50-50, I say, lying. This puzzles him, and he's not sure how to respond. "I'd like to see my client," I say.
"Sure,"
he says louder, as if frustrated. He can't be viewed as cooperating with me, so he storms off. The guards step back as one of them opens the door. Inside the death room, Duke is lying on a cot with his eyes closed. For the festivities, the rules allow him a small color television so he can watch whatever he wants. It's on mute, with cable news giddy over wildfires out west. His countdown is not a big story on the national front. At execution time, every death state has its own silly rituals, all designed to create as much drama as possible. Here they allow full contact visits with close family members in a large visitation room. At 10 p.m., they move the condemned man to the death room, which is next door to the death chamber, where he'll be killed. A chaplain and a lawyer are permitted to sit with him, but no one else. His last meal is served around 10:30, and he can order whatever he wants, except for alcohol. "How you doing?" I ask as he sits up and smiles.
"Never felt better. Any news?"
"Not yet, but I'm still optimistic. We should hear something soon." Duke is 38 and white, and before getting arrested for rape and murder, his criminal record consisted of 2 DUIs and a bunch of speeding tickets. No violence whatsoever. He was a party boy and a hellraiser in his younger days, but after 9 years in solitary, he has settled down considerably. My job is to set him free, which at the moment seems like a crazy dream. I take the remote and change channels to one from Birmingham, but I leave it on mute.
"You seem awfully confident," he says.
"I can afford to. I'm not getting a needle."
"You're a funny man, Post."
"Relax, Duke."
"Relax."
He swings his feet to the floor and smiles again. He does indeed look rather relaxed, given the circumstances. He laughs and says,
"Do you remember Lucky Skelton?"
"No."
"They finally got him about 5 years ago, but not before serving him 3 last meals. 3 times he walked the gangplank before getting a shove. Sausage pizza and a cherry Coke."
"And what did you order?"
"Steak and fries with a 6-pack of beer."
"I wouldn't count on the beer."
"Are you going to get me out of here, Post?"
"Not tonight, but I'm working on it."
"If I get out, I'm going straight to a bar and drinking cold beer till I pass out."
"I'll go with you."
"Here's the governor."
He appears on screen, and I hit the volume. He's standing in front of a bank of microphones with camera lights glaring at him. Dark suit, paisley tie, white shirt, every tinted hair gelled with precision. A walking campaign ad. Sufficiently burdened, he says,
"I have thoroughly reviewed Mr. Russell's case and discussed it at length with my investigators. I've also met with the family of Emily Broome, the victim of Mr. Russell's crimes, and the family is very much opposed to the idea of clemency. After considering all aspects of this case, I have decided to allow his conviction to stand. The court order will remain in place, and the execution will go forward. The people have spoken. Clemency for Mr. Russell is therefore denied."
He announces this with as much drama as he can muster, then bows and slowly backs away from the cameras, his grand performance complete.